So today we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's the Adilila. Adilila, chapter 16 on the board? 16. And I was told to go on the first verse of the 17. This is 108, yeah? Which one have you got? Chapter 17, yeah. Text number one. So I'll go on that one, yeah? But we will... On the board we have the number one, isn't that 17? Yeah, Vant. No, but on the board, the verse, it's Vande. Yeah, on the board we have the number one, 17. So, what we'll do...
We will read
the verse... 109, which is the last verse of the chapter 16. I read this one to myself and then we'll go on the... Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So this verse, 109, it's the last verse of the chapter 16 of the Adilila and has no purport. Actually, it's not the last verse. There's a couple of smaller ones more, up to the 111. So I'll read the translation. Srila Vrindavana Das Thakur has described all these incidents elaborately. I have only presented the specific incidents he has not described. This is now 110. The nectarian drops of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes can satisfy the senses of everyone who hears them. And this is now the last one, number 111, number 111. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate the Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, 16th chapter, describing the pastimes of the Lord in his childhood and youth. So chapter 17... This one is the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth. So the verse, the first verse has got a purport, so we will study on this one today. Okay, so, and that's the one that you see on the board. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even unclean Yavanas become perfectly well-bred gentlemen by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Such is the power of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada purport. There is a persistent misunderstanding between caste Brahmins and advanced Vaishnavas, O Goswami, because caste Brahmins or smarter Brahmins are of the opinion that one cannot become a Brahmin unless he changes his body. As we have discussed several times, it is to be understood that by the supremely powerful potency of the Lord, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, everything is possible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as fully independent as Krishna. Therefore, no one can interfere with his activities. If he wants, by his mercy, he can convert even a Yavana, an unclean follower of non-Vedic principles, into a perfectly well-behaved gentleman. This is actually happening in our propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement. The members of the present Krishna consciousness movement were not born in India, nor do they belong to the Vedic culture. But within the short time of 4 or 5 years, they have become such wonderful devotees simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that even in India they are well received as perfectly well-behaved Vaishnavas wherever they go. Although less intelligent men cannot understand it, this is the special power of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, the body of a Krishna-conscious person changes in many ways. Even in the United States, when our devotees chant on the street, American ladies and gentlemen inquire from them whether they are actually Americans, because no one could expect Americans to be such nice devotees all of a sudden. Even a Christian priest are greatly surprised that all these boys from Jewish and Christian families have joined this Krishna consciousness movement. Before joining, they never regarded any principles of religion seriously. But now they have become sincere devotees of the Lord. Everywhere people express this astonishment. And we take great pride in the transcendental behavior of our students. Such wonders are possible, however, only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not ordinary or mundane. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guravena Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim. Yat kripa tamaham vande shiguru dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances today to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskeda Desatarini. Vancha kalpa truvyascha kripa sindhu vyaivacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavibhyo namo nama. So we read the verse again. Vande svairad bhuteham tam chaitanyam yat prasadata yavana sumanayante krishna nama Prajalpaka. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even unclean Yavanas become perfectly well-bred gentlemen by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Such is the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very nice passage of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada takes great pride to see the change in our consciousness. Hare Krishna. When we join this Krishna consciousness movement, we had an external suit. We were thinking as masters, as controllers, and pride. So we had to give up all these mundane qualities which are very dear to the false ego. The false ego is always surrounded and worshipped by pride, lust, anger, greed, uncleanliness. And we took up the suit as a servant when we became a devotee. And a servant is someone who gives up the internal upadhi designation and these unclean qualities, lust, anger, greed. But it's not something mechanical, that you just join Krishna consciousness movement, shave up, put on dhoti and kurta, put on tilak, and there you are a Vaishnav. But what about the internal affair? So the internal affair, it's what constitutes the character of a devotee. Because when internally we become beautiful, then it will become manifest externally also. So we gave up the suit as a master, we take up the mood as a servant. And the mood as a servant can only come when we are cleaned up from all this upadhi, bad qualities. And we can only give up these bad qualities by chanting the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra, as Srila Prabhupada, he consistently and persistently is describing in this purport. By the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gave us the holy name, the Ma Mantra, which washes away all the Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kija. It washes away all the dirty things accumulate in the heart for thousands, Chitta Darpana Marjanam, and cleans the heart from the dust accumulated from millions and billions of lives. So we think that just by taking shower we are clean. But cleanliness, it's very much an internal process. When we chant the Maha Mantra sincerely, then the mind becomes free from unclean thoughts. That's why mantra. Man means mind, and tra means to deliver. You deliver the mind from all the bad things. And by reading the scriptures, this is liquid religion. You drink the nectar of the Vedas, and it cleans you also internally. And that's how the saintly qualities, they become manifest. When we say someone, oh, he looks very holy or very pure, it's not that the purity is from the by using soap and water, that someone's skins, you know, is a little bit more presentable. No, there is something else internally, that when we chant the holy name of the Lord, that even the most clean person in the world, the most wealthy person, he cannot achieve. Because wherever purity is there in the heart, it comes out in the eyes. The liquid religion gives, when we study the scriptures and we chant the holy name, it gives the effulgence that comes out of the body. So you could see the consciousness actually doesn't clean inside only, but it has an external effect also. That just by being effulgent, you can purify the heart of whoever you meet. People sometimes, like yesterday, day before yesterday, Friday, someone came out of the car. I just came out of the car and I was putting some books in the bed, in my bag. I had my boot open and I had a bit of a headache. So I was not feeling too good. But I said, no, but I should serve the Lord. However, the service must go on. It's just a couple hours. It will, 2-3 hours. It will pass very quickly. Then I figured out, you know, that just by doing it, after the first book, second book, you know, then, you know, you transcend whatever pain. And there was a gentleman parked next to me, and the wife, they were from Indian family, Gujarati family. And I was in my conventional clothes, not my hat on, my coat, not tilak. And the gentleman, he opened up the window, and the lady, she said, you look like a holy man, she said. She didn't even see the books. I said, yes. I am from the Hare Krishna temple. I try to be holy. Why did you say it? She said, you know, you look somewhat different from the people. I said, yeah, because we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We read Bhagavad Gita and we distribute Bhagavad Gita. But she didn't take a book, but it made me thinking, you know, that people, they pick up your state of consciousness. You cannot fool anybody in this world. Very often we hide all the bad things that we do. We try to impress people with all the good things that we are capable to do. Just like we forget about all our sins, our sinful activities that we've performed, either while we are doing our bhakti or previously before we came to Krishna consciousness. Because if you start to remember or dwell in on the things you have done, then you feel ashamed. The proud person, he forgets about all the bad things that he does. And he only remembers all the good things that he's done. Oh, like when you approach someone, I give in charity, I do this, I do that. You know, people, they very much, they're very much proud to express, you know, their goodness. But each one of us in this world, that's why we have a material body, we cannot deny it. We have performed things which are not pleasing to the society, to our body, to the demigods, to God, to the nature. Everyone is guilty. But the difference between us sitting here and people who are still carrying on performing sinful activities, unclean activities, is that we are aware of it. We're trying to do something about it. We regret. That's why Jesus told Peter, he said, your purification is to repent, regret. There is nothing else you could do. Let us forget about the past, but repent. So we are the tangible proof that we are guilty of being thieves, really. It boils down to that. You know, the lust makes us lust, anger, greed, falling down in this world, and pushes us, you know, to steal things. We steal things every day. We are borrowers. You know, we steal air, we steal food, we steal money. We put them in the bank account. We steal clothes. We nothing belongs to us, really. We say, "Oh, I worked for it," but even if there is a yagya, really, everything that surrounds us, it belongs to Krishna. He's the owner of everything. But we come in this world naked, with nothing. And we accumulate so much. Until the time of death, I have a friend of mine, he's trying to move somewhere else. And he said, it's amazing when you get married. He's only been married for about 10 years. All the things that he's accumulated in his house, he said, you know, it was better when I was a brahmachari. I had nothing and was free to travel and do things. And brahmachari life, you know, you just have the holy name, a little bit of prasad, some books to read. And there you are, you're a free man. And you give out the happiness, the consciousness that you have, you share it with the people. Very lucky for those who stay brahmachari. So, because when we accumulate things, then we become attached to them. It starts with a family, children, then you need a house, you need so many things. You need things to survive. But of course we are conscious that everything belongs to Krishna. Now Srila Prabhupada describes here that we may be criticized by the smarter Brahmins, and it is actually a persistent, consistent and insistent allegations that they make towards the Vaishnavas, devotees, that we are not clean. We cannot be Brahmins unless we are born Brahmins, like it says in this purport. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Acharya, they actually reject, they defy this mentality. By guna and karma, not by birth, you become a qualified Vaishnava or Brahman. You can develop those qualities within a few years. That's what Srila Prabhupada says, yeah? Chant the holy name, observe celibacy. This is real cleanliness. The pride, but we could do, the smarter Brahmins, they could do all these things. Very clean, they dress clean, they chant the mantra. But still they dress up themselves with something which is very unclean. And what is that? That's a question to the audience. What is which is unclean for a smart Brahman? Pride. Exactly, pride. Pride is the most unclean muchi cloth, internal cloth. Pride, when you see pride in someone, it's like seeing a vomit on the street or some bowels or some mucus or some. Actually, it's more harmless to see the excrements or stool of an animal. You don't get as much contaminate as when you are in close proximity of someone who is very proud. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, pride is like a stool under the feet. You know, wherever you walk, you know, people they can smell it. Sorry, I don't want to be disgusting in this class, but the idea is that we are chanting the names of Krishna to become free from this pride. We have seen the old chapter of this great Brahman, formerly smart Brahman, poet, pandit, Digvijay, and Lord Chaitanya completely defeated him. And then he took off the pride that he was wrapped in. Jesus also, I was brought up in a Catholic environment. Jesus, he didn't like proud disciples. There was one of them, Samuel, who later on he joined, but in the beginning he could not do it. He was very wealthy. And he was attracted by the purity, the effulgence of the disciple of Jesus. And he said, Rabbi, what do I have to do to follow you? He said, you have to give up your pride. Give up your pride and give up all your wealth. Give it to the poor. Then you can follow me. But he could not do that. He said, you know, but there is a blood of my father, you know, all my wealth. I cannot give it up. And that's when Jesus said, it is easy for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than a rich man or proud man enter the kingdom of God. So, this is the a beautiful benediction of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. People, when you chant the holy name of Krishna, you become very attractive. It's an internal purification. It may be you still remain, you know, whatever caste, whatever Brahmana or Sudra or Vaishya, or an Indian, or an Italian, or an American, or Jamaican. The designation is still there, but you will become free from that designation, and people, they see that there's a wonderful person in that vehicle, in that body. There's a wonderful... A Sudra, who is a Vaishnava, is more higher than a Brahman who is not a devotee, Vaishnava. Like our gatekeeper, Kuveri, he's a gatekeeper. He always tells me, I can't give a class, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm just a fallen soul. But it could be more pure than someone who is a sannyasi, and who has a lot of a pride. What is attractive? Attractiveness is honesty. Purity, Krishna wants to see when we put up our hands like of Draupadi, He could have actually come immediately and protected Draupadi, but he didn't do it until she put up her hands. Right? She was dragged by her, but nobody was helping her. She was holding on to her hair because she was surrendering to her own endeavor. By holding my hair, I can protect myself. Of course, it's a natural bodily instinct to defense mechanism, you know, to protect yourself. But there is something higher that when you let go of everything and say, my dear Lord Govinda, I'm yours. So whatever I'm going through now, there's nothing I can do. So my life, my death, everything is in your hands. Do with me whatever you want. You want to protect me? That's the prayer of Lord Chaitanya. You can crush me, you can protect me, do whatever you want. That's surrender. That is humility, and that is absence of pride. Because pride is the most precious jewel for the false ego. It's the thing very dear to the false. As long as we have a pride, there is no surrender. So, when we become a devotee, we take up this chanting, and you'll see that there is a transformation. And people from whichever religion, like Prabhupada says, yeah, whether Jewish, Christians, Muslims, they become attracted to us. They become attracted. I remember when I was, I think, about 18 when I became a devotee. I was a young boy, 1980 or 81. And I was assisting a book distributor. I was just carrying his bag. And we went in these beautiful mountains, and there was a monastery, Franciscano Monastery. And so we went in, and the mass was just about to start. But we went through the back of the chapel. We used to sell books, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to also Catholic organizations, churches. So, and the devotee, Param Vijay, his name, he presented the books, and I was very quiet, very... So after the... He took the book, very nice man, very nice priest. It was him and somebody else, and he had some altar boys. Said, you see, they're here for the day. And then they must have been about 17, 18, same age like me. So he said, please come with me. So he took me and this devotee into the church behind the altar. And then the audience must have been about maybe 50, 60 people. That's how he broke the speech. He grabbed me, and he kissed me on my head. I was shaved up, you know, and he said, shame on all of you. Look, such a young age, and he's given his life to God. Most of those people, they were all like, you know, 50s, 60s. In the 30, 40, maybe the youngest one, 30, 40. Families, they were there. And it is not easy, he said, to give up the youth and give it to God. And so it was like he somehow or another, he got attracted. But not to my young body, but it was the process of chanting. Because, you know, this myself and this devotee, they we were like, attracting to him. You know, he felt attracted by the purity. Because they're vegetarian. The Franciscani, they're actually very pure. And they, you know, it takes one to understand one. They could see that we were different from any other religions. And he was proud. He was very, it was something unusual for him to see that a young man, you know, has given his life to God. I was brahmachari at that time. But somehow or another, this is all by the mercy of the holy name, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before that, you know, I was just commoner, normal person, individual, like anybody else. You go in the street, you know, people, they're all, you travel in the train or in the bus, they're all bored, you know. There's not even a smile on their face. Sometimes I go to London, and I, you know, I'm, because I do Sangitan, I'm always, when I have eye contact with someone, I smile to the person. And people, they sometimes, you know, they, it's just the cordial nature that I have. I try to be, to say a few words, nice words or some smile, or something, give something to people, even if it's not a book. And it's such an endeavor for people to reciprocate and give a smile back. You know, there is a little smirk sometimes. They're serious, you know, they look, it's, why are you smiling at me? There's that question, you know, in their expression. And then they do like that, you know, they make an endeavor. But it is a natural thing, you know, to be sociable and to be friendly and to be loving. Our relationship in the spiritual world is just, it's not just a relationship between us and God, but also between us and other living entities. So we have to practice this exchange of love here in this world. If you don't learn to love what you see, you can never learn to love what you don't see, which is God. So this is the environment. I know it's an unclean environment, and people, they're all wrapped up in their lust, anger, greed, and it's difficult for them to let it go. That's why this chanting, it's very, very important. Actually, in every lecture, we should preach about this Yoga Dharma. The chanting, the distribution of this Maha Mantra, the chanting is extremely important. And we give it out in the form of book distribution. This is the purpose of book distribution, to actually make people chant the names of God. It's the very first, one of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, to sanctify the names of God. One who calls, who shall call upon me, he will be saved, in the Bible. So that's it. It's the very first item of all the services, calling God. When a child is lost, then it's not that, you know, yeah, where is food? Where is this? Where he just asks, mom or dad, the calling. That is the very first thing that we do. We call the attention of God by chanting. And then that's it. We are connected. As soon as you chant, automatically all the unclean things, they fly away from the heart. So it is not a sentimental process, an exaggeration. This recitation of the holy name, but it's a repeated process of purification. We do it every day. because the anartha, they are there for many, many millions of lives, and we need to do it. They pop up every day, and that's why we keep chanting. And it's the only way to protect ourselves from falling in the trap again of the all these bad habits. So we are aware of this tool of purification, how to clean ourselves. Unfortunately, there are people outside there, they're not aware of it. Pravritim cha, navritim cha, jnana vidurasura. Nasaucham napichacharo nasatyam teshu vidyate. They don't know what to be done, they don't know what not to be done. They cannot tell the truth. The heart is not clean. This is the demoniac mentality. They cannot discriminate between good things and bad things. Nasatyam nasaucham napichacharo. The heart is not clean. Saucham. Nasatyam. When the heart is not clean, then you cannot tell the truth. Then you're not truthful. To tell the truth requires an internal cleanliness. This is the very first process of purification. When we chant, then we become truthful. You know, when we hear that the qualification to hear the Bhagavatam, a class, Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, one only a truthful devotee, he will get the benefit of this message. What does that mean? Truthful means honest, sincere, someone who doesn't who is clean internally. Then we can understand by the power of the Holy Name, once we are clean inside, then we can understand the message of God. And then we can understand what it's all about, you know, who we are, where we come from, what is the purpose of life in this world, where we go after we die. Everything becomes, the mysteries of life, they become manifest. If there is a creation, there must be a creator. Just like if there is a painting, there must be an artist. So the Holy Name takes us to from ignorance to the light, to the truth. And makes us understand that there is mayadhyakshena prakriti, suyate sacharachara. There is a hand behind everything. And that is the hand of God. I'm feeling good today, healthy, because God's mercy. Bad things are happening to me, it's because God's punishment. Nothing happened by chance. Of course, it's not directly from God, but the material energy, the agent of material energy, they punish us according to our behavior. So there is a reward and failure. Those are the duality of life. So there is a system, there is a ruler. If there is enjoyment and suffering, that means there is somebody up there that He rewarded us. He rewards those things. There is a fair system. There is a controlling mechanism. It's not that, you know, punish the success, reward the failure. The murderers, you know, they get away with it. They may get away from the police, but not from God. A criminal, a murderer, he may murder so many people and then he takes birth again as a child and gets run over by truck and people, oh, innocent child. How do we know the mysteries of life? Who is who? What everyone has done in their previous lives? We know nothing. God knows. God knows our past, present, and future. Things, they may appear to be in a certain way, and you become disturbed. Why God is doing these things to people? And he's always the one to be blamed. And then someone who is very insignificant all of a sudden becomes a great personality. That person maybe has been rewarded for something that he's done in previous lives. But ignorant and envious people, they say, oh, really? He's a prime minister? No, I don't believe that. The envy is like that, you know. Who, such and such? I've known him, you know, for many years, but it's useless. How do we know? We are very prone to judge. Any one of you could be chosen by God to do some great work. And maybe people, they will judge you. But don't be... Always be prepared. Be a tool in the hands of God. He can use anyone and everyone. Just like in the purport. Prabhupada says, you know, something very interesting that struck me. Nobody can interfere. I like to read this purport again because it's very nice. And then we adjourn the class. We'll take some questions. They told me 9 o'clock, yeah? Well, there is a persistent misunderstanding between caste Brahmins and advanced Vaishnavas or Goswamis, because caste Brahmins or Smarta are of the opinion that one cannot become a Brahmin unless he changes his body. As we have discussed several times, it is to be understood that by the supremely powerful potency of the Lord, you see, the potency, Krishna could do anything. As described by Krishnadas Goswami, Kaviraj Goswami, everything is possible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fully independent as Krishna. Therefore, no one can interfere with his activities. No one. That means Swarat, the Lord, he can do anything he wants. He can uplift someone who is very insignificant, and he can make a proud, important king or person falling down. We're all puppets, like a yo-yo in this world. One life we are kings, another life we are insect. Another life we are demigods, another life we are sweepers in the street. Those are all designations. But the real thing, it's to be a servant of God. That is the greatest understanding, the greatest position to be in. To be in harmony with Krishna. Just by by feeling someone in your heart, that's already spiritual advancement. Aham Brahmasmi, first you understand that you are a soul, not a body. Then the next stage you understand that there is somebody next to your soul, which is God. And then the next stage is to understand that there is a relationship between you and that person. Sambandha Gyan. So, just to understand, admitting, you know, that there is God, don't deny it anymore. Then you're protected. Krishna becomes very happy. Even if you don't do any service. So, of course, something is better than nothing. Of course, more is better than something. Understanding that there is God is already a great spiritual advancement. But doing something for that person, it's even more. So you could see that spiritual advancement is always increasing, until we become selfless, try to give out this knowledge to those who are actually lost and suffering in this world. And that is the greatest service. This is the mission of this movement. It's not for us to become Sunday feast devotee. Come here, socialites, take prasad. You know, you get purified. That's good. But there is something called mission. We all work together to try to do something. It doesn't matter whichever ashram you are, brahmachari, vanaprastha, grihastha, sannyasi, we should never lose the side of mission, of the mission, that there is something we have to do. Like Prabhupada, you know, he came out of the temple of Vrindavan. He was actually residing in the temple, sleeping there, taking prasad there, writing books. But he left the temple to preach, to come and go into a park where there was a lot of hippies to preach. That is a temple life. Sometimes we have to leave the association of God. That's what preaching is, higher than being with God himself. Like the great example, there's a very nice, powerful purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni. He had Kapila Dev as son. He had a god as a son. Well, what did he do? Did he spend a life with him? Did he stay with him? He said, no, now you're born. You preach to my mom. I'm going to go and preach. And then he went back to the forest. And Prabhupada said, that is the life of a devotee. You have to be sometimes get away from God to go and preach the message of God. That means you are more close to God than those who are close to Him. Preaching is always high. Srila Prabhupada would come to the airport and he would ask, where is such and such? Everybody was there doing kirtan, you know, enjoying Prabhupada association. And Jayananda, the temple priest, Prabhupada, he's actually doing some, he's preaching. He went to a program and he's doing some book distribution. And Prabhupada said, that is higher than being with me personally. So this is a few insights from this purport, and we ask if there is any questions.